We welcome those who join us online, and also just want to remind you of your giving. Can happen there. There's several different ways. The envelope here. If you're attending, you give online. You can mail it in. Also, want you to know that because of everything that has happened, there are some things that are not happening that have been part of our normal outreach. But there are some things that are still happening. One is the Northville Lighted Parade. They have canceled that for this year, which we've been a part of for my 15 years here. So we won't have that opportunity as some of the treats for streets and different things that we've been a part of. But something we are still doing this year is the Symphony of Lights. If you were here last year, you know we did that. We are still doing that. We're hoping to launch it December the 1st. It'll run all the way through December 25th. It'll run every night this year. We're going to run it from midweek, Monday through Fridays, from 7 to 9 o'clock. It'll be a drive-by. The radio will be on, and you can come and watch it in your car. And then on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays, we're going to have a little bit longer program. The midweek program will be around 12 minutes, and the weekend programs will be about 30 minutes. And we're going to be doing it on the hour at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. And inviting our community. We had over 7,000 people on our campus last year. I don't know how we'll be able to count the midweek this year, but it's not about the number, it's about the touch. And so we want to share the light of the world with the community this year, and that's going to be our theme, is the light. And so we're putting that together, beginning to get all those details. We are expanding our light production this year to another media screen in the middle, and working at that. But it's going to be a great light show, and so we'll be getting more to you. What I want you to know is I'm going to need a few more hands to help me punch a few more lights. We've got about 10,000 more lights to punch in. And so I'm going to need your hands to help do that. And so we'll be setting those days and maybe hours that different people can come and help with that process. So we're excited about that. Also, just be aware, November 1st, that's a Sunday, first Sunday in November, 5 o'clock, we're going to have a worship and prayer time, just praying before the election. I'm not pushing one over the other. I am looking for heaven's will to be done here on earth. And I want to pray for that fact to be about. I want to be the people of God praying the word of God and believing what God has for us and for our future is his will be done. Amen? Amen. So November 1st, 5 o'clock, we want to ask you to come and join us. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to finish up chapter 1 today. If you haven't been with us, we're in a series walking through 1 Thessalonians. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul highlights some of the evidence. We're going to be talking about modeling faith, and he gives us some of the evidence of faith that he sees in the church in Thessalonica. I want us to look personally at some checkpoints in our own lives that might spur us on in our discipleship as we follow Jesus Christ. But before I get to the text today, I want to bring up an important thought that I think we have to keep in mind. And the thought is this. It is, every believer struggles. Now, that's not a statement I would love for you to repeat, but it is something I think we have to understand. You know, it's not something I really want to hone in on or preach on, but there is no such person who gets it right all of the time. I know nobody wants to say amen to that, but it's the truth. In fact, Paul, in his own words in Romans chapter 7, reminds us of his own struggles. And this is Paul the Apostle who writes in Romans 7, verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. For I am all too human. Anybody else say amen? And a slave to sin. Yeah. Don't want to announce it, but that's where Paul would say, listen to where I live, verse 15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 18, he goes on, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Does anyone feel like they can say amen to where Paul is living? Listen, understand that we're all in a battle with Satan and the demonic distractions and influences that are out there. There are battles we will win and some that we will lose. But we've got to keep going down the road and keep growing in our faith even when we do struggle. Amen? Church, for us to truly grow and mature, it's going to require maximum effort on our part. And it cannot happen without the Holy Spirit working in us and supernaturally changing us. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to do His work in us. Amen? Amen. Now, with that understanding, I want to take you back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, as Paul speaks to the Thessalonians. He says, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Paul says, listen, we know that God is at work among you. We know you're truly believers. We know that you're loved by God. And listen, he goes on in verse 5 and 6 to give evidence of why he feels this way. He says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this letter that is preserved for us today. And may we be those who not only have ears to hear, but hearts to respond. Lord, may it be evident that us as believers are following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is telling us the first evidence, kind of one of the piece of evidence that I see that these people are genuine believers, is the way they have responded to the message that God sent to them. Church, to model faith, we need to respond to God's word. Amen. Everybody say that with me. We need to respond to God's word. Now, there's a lot of people who hear the word of God. For instance, two people could sit in church on Sunday. One could be deeply affected by what they hear, and the other one has no problem playing games, falling asleep, daydreaming about something else. And you kind of have to go, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you. One has walked into this place allowing the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit to be part of their life. And the other one could not care less about what they hear. Now, before you get upset at me for saying that, we need to remember why we gather as believers. You did not come to hear me. We came to worship God and then give attention to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, or what the Spirit is maybe speaking to you personally. I'll tell you today, the Holy Spirit wants to take the Word of God and apply it directly to your life. Paul said the gospel came to them with power. It made an impact on them. The message that Paul and Silas have been sharing with them came from the direction of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit used the words they spoke to convict the people of their sin, to awaken them of their need for a Savior, and to prompt them to believe and then give them direction for their life. Again, Paul writes in verse 5, the gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. The message of truth was accompanied by a source of power that persuaded them that change was needed in their lives. The people were convinced of God's revelation, the revelation that Jesus was the Savior of the world and that they needed to submit to the authority of God in their lives, just like we need to submit to God's word today and the authority of God in our lives. We need to understand that the word of the Lord is true and it needs to affect the deepest part of our being and convict us. Amen. Listen to the author of Hebrews as he writes these words, Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now listen to verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There's nothing you're going to do and live where you're going to hide it from God. You are going to give account for your life. Why would I want the Word of God to speak to me? Because it will change me to be who He wants me to be. Church, when we allow God's work to happen in our lives, it will speak directly to us, and at times it will feel like it is judging you. Why? So it can awake you. It would be like someone telling you, you're in danger. And this is how you get out. We should want to hear that kind of message. Church, have you ever sensed God's word touching your heart? Have you ever heard the Spirit of God speaking to your life? That's evidence that God is speaking to you. He's growing you in your faith. But hearing is only the first part. After we hear, we need to respond to what we hear. So let me give you a checklist to evaluate your own faith today of God and His Word happening in your life. Now, these are rhetorical questions. You are to ponder upon them. Ready? Number one, do you turn to the Word of God for guidance in your life? When you have questions, is God's Word the first place you go to? Number two, do you expect God to speak to you in your situation when you read the Word of God? You should. Number three, does the Word of God lead you to change things in your life? It should. And number four, does the Word of God have authority over your values, your decisions, and your behavior? Now, a yes to these questions, you're on the right path. But if you answer no to all of these, you need to do some soul searching. Church, to model faith, we not only need to be hearers of the word, we need to respond to God's word. We go to it, hear it, and take action. Amen? Secondly, I believe we need a life that looks like Jesus. I need everybody to say that with me. We need a life that looks like Jesus. We've got people online listening. It's like, we want a life that looks like. Come on, tell me what you want. We want a life that looks like. Amen. I want a life that looks like Jesus. Let me go back to our passage. I'm going to start at the end of verse 5. It says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Church, there's a second evidence that these Thessalonians had genuine faith in God, and that is that they were changed in the way they lived their lives. They endeavored to follow the example of the apostles as well as the Lord Jesus. In verse 6, we are told they welcomed that message of the gospel, and they did so in spite of the suffering that came because of their new belief. From the book of Acts last week in chapter 17, we read how Paul and Silas escaped by night to get out of Thessalonica because they were going to be driven out of town by the adversaries of the gospel. And from what Paul writes to the church now in Thessalonica, we can be sure the same hostility was directed toward those who became followers of Jesus. But in spite of the hardship, in spite of the suffering, these believers continued to trust in God. The scripture says in verse 6 again, they welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. And catch this, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Church, how we respond to God in times of crisis is a good indicator of our true faith in Jesus Christ. I trust that the joy of the Holy Spirit is getting the deeper part of your life and your heart, no matter what you might walk through. When King David, if you remember, was struggling with his own sin in his life, this is what he remembered to pray. He said, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." David knew, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to change me. I still want to have His work in my life. When Paul and Barnabas are preaching at Antioch in chapter 13 of Acts, and they encountered opposition, I want you to hear how they responded in verse 51 of Acts 13. So they shook the dust from their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And verse 52, the disciples were what? Filled with what? And with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when opposition comes your way, it wants to rob the joy and take away the change that needs to happen in us. We need to keep that joy and say, God, I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm to just shake my dust off my feet as a warning to you, then I will do so. And you say, well, that might be offensive to them. Then that's their problem. I'm here to preach the gospel that has changed my life, that can change your life, that can change those around you, their lives, so they can go to heaven. Church, when we face opposition to the truth of who Jesus is, do not let it rob the joy of God. Do not let it take away the Holy Spirit's work in you. You just keep modeling the Word of God. You just keep modeling faith as you walk. Listen to what the believers in Thessalonica did as the Holy Spirit guided their lives. Verse 9 and 10. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Listen to what happens. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Church, these people in Thessalonica experienced real transformation in their lives. Did you hear? They turned away from worshiping idols. Listen, that was part of their popular culture. That was the end thing to do. But these believers stopped being controlled by superstition and the ethos of the culture that was going on around them. And instead, they began to live their lives in anticipation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They stopped living as if this life, that's all there is. And they started living with an eye toward heaven and what my future is going to be. Church, that's the kind of change that needs to take place in our lives. We need to quit trying to imitate modern culture and popular belief and chasing the attractions of sin in this world. Those things only pull you away from God. Church, we are following the Word of God. In fact, in the passage back in verse 6, Paul, again, what he said, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. They started imitating how the missionaries were living. And then as they heard the stories of Jesus Christ, they said, that's the way we want to live. The Greek word here for imitator is the word mimetes in the Greek. It's where we get our word mimic. An imitator, someone who mimics or follows or emulates someone else. Church, we all learn by imitating. Did you know a child learns to walk by watching those and the example of others who are walking? They're like, I want to do that. Children learn to talk by imitating the sounds that she hears or he hears. A child learns about work, communication, relationships by imitating what he or she has seen. We all started out by imitating and following what we saw and what we heard. That is why you have nuances of your parents in you. Possibly of some of your friends. Maybe even some of your teachers, because they had an impact in your life. Something my dad used to do that I really did not want to imitate was that he buzzed his lips while he worked or while he was thinking. Just be buzzing and I remember being in a store with him one time, and I was on a different aisle, and all I could hear on the other side of the store was, I'm like, I don't want to do that, but sure enough, I caught it. My wife at times, she's like, you're buzzing your lips again. I'll be worried. I don't do much thinking while I'm preaching, so that's why you don't hear the buzzing. We grow up. We become models for people. My oldest son picked up a laugh from me. I used to laugh. I don't know where I picked this up. I'm sure I picked it up. I think I picked it up from a cartoon. But it was a laugh. It used to be like this. And my oldest son picked it up. And when I began to realize he was doing it, I'm like, I am not going to do that anymore. I started getting hold of that. Like, if I'm going to laugh, just laugh. And this little who was the dog that used to laugh? I think that was a character back in, who was it? I don't remember that, but I know I laugh. I'm working on getting that under control. That's all that matters. And the buzzing of the lips. Anyway. What I want you to know, what happens in that natural realm really happens in the spiritual realm as well. When a person is truly a child of God, when their faith is genuine, they become imitators of those who reflect Jesus Christ. I remember wanting to preach like my oldest brother, Glenn. Oh my goodness, he is a good preacher. He just, the history, his mannerisms, I'm like, I wish I could be like that. I remember wanting to know scriptures like my middle brother, Philip. Man, he could just quote scripture. I wanted to grow up and learn to pray like my mama prays. In college, I learned from one of my professors, Dr. Tyndall, I wanted to be gentle like him. And then when Hosanna Worship came out, I wanted to worship like the Hosanna Live worship. Anybody remember from the 80s mainly and 90s, the Hosanna? And then I wanted to sing like Steve Green. If anybody remembers who that might be. And then as I watched in the rest of my life, I've learned I want to be like godly people, pastors and teachers and people that I hang around. I'm like, I want to be like that. And now as a pastor, I want to be a person who reflects the grace and the mercy of our God. I want to walk in humility and tenderness like our Savior. I want the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit coming out of my life. I want wisdom from God. I want to imitate my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, to the very best of my ability. That is what I want. But like Paul, I don't always do what I want. But I want you to know that people who look at your children will see evidence that they are your children. It might be a physical similarity. It might be a behavioral similarity. But there will be some likeness that begins to tie you together. And with that truth, I want you to know if we're the children of God, if we're really followers of Jesus Christ, then there should be evidence that is revealed in the way we live our lives. Why? Because we're modeling our faith in Jesus. Amen? So, church, the questions come like, are we attempting to be Christ-like? I mean, do you desire to live for Jesus? Are you prayerful? Do you go to God in prayer like Jesus did? Are you careful about your words and your thoughts and actions as Jesus Christ was? I only do and say what the Father tells me. Listen, I'm not asking if you're perfect. But I'm asking you, are you following the perfect one? Are you modeling faith? When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, guess what happened? 2 Corinthians 5:17 happened. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new creation or a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and what? And the power to do what pleases him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and do what? Reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us what? More and more like him as we are what? Changed into his glorious image. The Bible says that if we're truly believers, we're given God's Spirit so we can be changed. And church, the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives is to develop the character and the fruit of the Spirit in our life, like Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. Who's going to tell you, no, you can't be that joyful? The law says you can't have that much self-control. Church, these things represent who God is, and we ought to have them flowing out of our lives. Church, the Holy Spirit wants to work in you and change you. And there's a reason for that. It's my third thought for today. It's because we need to make an impact on those around us. I don't want to just hear God's word and respond. And I want to do more than just imitate others. I want to make an impact on those around me. Let me go back to verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 1. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. The Thessalonian church was making an impact on the cities around them. The phrase rang out means to send forth, to resound. Their faith was being proclaimed loudly and clearly throughout the world of that time. It seems that everyone who came into contact with them, in spite of their persecution, they learned Jesus has made a change in them. This is what the people heard again. Listen to it in verse 9 and 10. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait. I want you to really listen to this because this is part of what Paul is saying. This is what the church ought to be, to wait for his son from heaven whom he raised from the dead. Listen, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. I don't know how you feel things are turning, but I think things are getting a little bit rough out there, and God is going to bring judgment. But guess what he does for his church? He rescues you from that coming wrath. Amen. I'm glad he's going to do that. I think that, go for it, God. I am so, you have no idea what separation from God really is like for eternity. You do not want to be separated from God for eternity. You want to be with him and know him as he knows you. This church was changed. And they're telling everybody they run into, God is real. He's life. And that Jesus can change your life. And by the way, he's coming again. But sometimes I wonder if we feel like we can make an impact on the world around us. I want you to know there's all kinds of people in our communities who need to know Jesus Christ. And I believe, I really believe that if we can faithfully live out the truth, I believe that marriages and families and our schools and our communities and the businesses that we come in contact with can be transformed. But what do we need to do? Well, number one, we need to respond to God's word. That needs to be some evidence in your life. We need a life that looks like Jesus. We need to make an impact on those around us. And lastly, it's going to happen because we need to model what real faith looks like. I don't want you to forget my opening thought that we all struggle at times. But do not let that hinder you. God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you just take it to him. And in your struggle, maybe, just strive to get things right with the Lord and then keep going. Keep working. Keep fixing your eyes on Jesus. This morning, we've already sent out an email to you, to the entire church. The email has a picture on it that I'm asking you, maybe on your computer or mostly maybe on your phones, I want you to put this statement. I put it right on my background screen, so every time my phone comes on, it's right there, that I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. For those who need paper copies, on a table and at the information desk, there's just little paper copies. Maybe you need to stick it right on your rear mirror or your mirror where you get ready or the refrigerator door, or put it where your speedometer is. Don't cover the speedometer. But church, I wonder if we don't get this thing in front of us, it's going to get behind us. And Jesus has to stay in the forefront of my thoughts and my actions. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Pastor James, I don't know how much of the worship team is here. You coming? I want you to put this somewhere in your life. I want you to, church, I want us to be changed. I want people who visit us, my glorious desire would be that, I mean, they walk in this place, they sense the presence of God. And when they get near you, they just go, there is something powerful about their lives. There's something different in you. I think people need to see and experience what God is doing in your life and working in and through you. If we don't take these things seriously and activate in our life the Word of God and get our eyes on Jesus, I think this world will overtake us. And I believe the enemy would love to deceive you, but I don't believe you have to be deceived. I believe if we're really in love with Jesus and we begin to show the evidence, I believe the Holy Spirit, by the way, you won't save anybody. But I'll tell you what, you could be an incredible seed planter. Why? Because people say, man, look at their, like, you know, it's not that we got it all together, but they begin to look and say, look at their life. You know, I remember what they used to be. I'm sure everyone on this platform would say, I don't want to be what I used to be. You know, I want to be changed. And so this morning, we sang a song, and it's the graves in the gardens. I want us to sing that first verse of that chorus again, because I want you to kind of begin to think, what kind of person am I going to be for the Lord? I know I've gone a little bit longer today, but would you hang in there with me? I want you to hear this. Would you just sing that?
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me.
Have you found that true?
Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
Never, ever.
But then you came along.
What did you do?
Put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
So we declare,
oh, there's nothing that's better than you.
Come on, would you stand with me?
There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Second verse.
I'm not afraid.
This is how we got to walk before
to show
Him.
Show you my weakness.
It's all been laid bare before Him.
My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all.
Oh, but He's still calling you, friend. Thank you, Lord.
Because the God of the mountain,
He's walking with you.
He's the God of the valley.
There's not a place.
Your mercy and grace won't find me again
and again and again. For
there's nothing,
tell them,
better than you. There's nothing
more.
It's better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Father, if there's anyone here today that needs to put their faith in you, I pray they would right now. They would just simply say, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I believe you are my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Walk with me. Master my thoughts, my actions, and Holy Spirit, come dwell within me and fill me and use me for your glory. Heavenly Father, over us as the people of God, I pray there would be such a transformation, even today, Lord, even among our character of our church, that God, we don't have to be who we were, but we can be who you want us to be. Lord, we can walk with such a joy. Lord, we can be people who inspire others. Lord, lives that are worthy to be mimicked, lives that are worthy to be imitated, lives that model the Word of God, that model our faith in You. So, Lord, use us, I pray. Let Your church bring Your glory as we walk in this world, and help us to do everything You call us to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Lord, church, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. So the papers are out there. In your email is that picture. Put it somewhere so it begins to impact your life. Not just for a week. Leave it there. That's the way we're going to live, church. I don't remove Jesus. I keep Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, be with us and give us a life that is filled with Your Holy Spirit throughout this week. We live Jesus-filled lives for You. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.